Welcome to the podcast, folks. Happy Monday. Hope everybody had a great weekend. We got a great one on tap here for you today. Before we get on with it, though, I got to talk about some listeners. I mean, I have arguably the greatest listeners on the planet. Such cool stories. And as we slowly close out 2021, some of the feedback I've received over the course of this year has just been super cool, and I can't thank you guys enough for tuning in and using the text line to give me some feedback and your thoughts on you know, different guests. Every once in a while, though, something kind of, I don't know, almost extraordinary happens, and Ange and Blake Hall is the ones I'm talking about. They sent me a card that says, "Speak the truth even if your voice shakes." And, you know, everybody knows some of the guests we've been having on here over the last little bit. Well, they run Prairie Gold Meats. You can check them out, prairiegoldmeats.ca. They gave me a box of a meat for the freezer just to kind of tip of the cap, I guess, so to speak, to what I do. They said, "Thank you for using your platform to put a voice to the discussions that need to be had. We appreciate it, and you keep up the good work." So I just thought I would give a little shout out to Ange and Blake Hall and their family. Good Alberta fine folks they are. I appreciate the meat. The family certainly does. And I don't know. I didn't see that one coming, so I thought it deserved having a little bit of talk. So a little bit of talk too, I guess. So I appreciate everybody who reaches out. You don't need to do anything like that. I just thought, you know, it deserves a tip of the cap, as that's, I mean, sometimes I don't have the words, folks. So I really do appreciate the support that all of you give. And once again, Ange and Blake Hall, I do appreciate putting some meat in the freezer. Now, before we get to today's episode, let's get on to today's episode sponsors. Carly Clausen, the team over at Windsor Plywood, builders of the podcast studio table. Of course, if you're looking for anything wood, these are the fine folks. You know, when it comes to just different unique pieces of wood, man, you got to see their showroom. Like, hop on Instagram, do a little creeping, and see some of the stuff they got going on there. They're just really unique. I think that's probably the best word I can use to describe some of the chunks of wood they have in there. Now, of course, if you're looking to do mantles, decks, windows, doors, or sheds, head on in to Windsor Plywood or give them a call, 780-875-9663. Clay Smiley and the team over at Profit River, of course, they're closing in on being in their new building. I'm looking for a new update. Last update I had is their showroom retail space has flooring being installed, which I assume must be done or getting real close. And of course, they got the custom walnut cabinetry is on its way, and they're going to have that in. I'm really excited to see their showroom and what it's going to look like. Of course, they specialize in firearms, importing firearms from the United States of America, and they pride themselves in basically making the process as easy as humanly possible for all you fine folks that are trying to get some different hardware in from the States. Just go to ProfitRiver.com and check them out today. They are the major retailer of firearms, optics, and accessories serving all of Canada. Trophy Gallery, downtown Lloydminster, is Canada's supplier for glass and crystal awards. I mean, I was just at a little U7 hockey game, little 5- and 6-year-olds out on the ice sheet here over the weekend, and it'll be soon enough. It'll be tournaments and awards and medals and trophies and everything like that. And if you're looking for somebody to do it up custom to what you need, Trophy Gallery is the group, trophygallery.ca. They do ship all across Canada. If you're in Lloydminster or the area, you can stop in and see the showroom in town here, and you can see what Clint's working with. So go to trophygallery.ca and check out what you can do for, well, maybe a sports team or maybe your business. Jen Gilbert and team, for over 45 years, since 1976, the dedicated realtors of Coldwell Banker Cityside Realty have served Lloydminster and the surrounding area. They offer star power, providing their clients with 7-day-a-week access because they know big life decisions are not made during office hours. That's Coldwell Banker Cityside Realty. For everything real estate, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, give them a call, 780-875-3343. Mortgage broker Jill Fisher, her name says it all. She proudly serves the areas of Lloydminster, Bonnyville, Cold Lake, and Vermilion, and she's looking forward to working with you for all your mortgage needs. If you're like me and are a dummy when it comes to mortgage rates and everything else, just know that they are low. The world right now, as we all know, is a little volatile. And I think anytime you can get somebody working for you on something that could probably save you some money and give you a little bit of peace of mind, I think you should, exercise that right. So give her a call, 780-872-2914, or hop on your phone, go to jfisher.ca and find out more. If you're looking for outdoor signage, the team over at Read and Write, they just always make the podcast look sharp. Give them a call, 306-825-5111. Gartner Management is a Lloydminster-based company specializing in all types of rental properties to help meet your needs. Whether you're looking for a small office or a 6,000-square-foot commercial space, give Wade Gartner a call today, 780-808-5025. And if you're heading into any of these businesses, make sure you know, let them know you heard about them from the podcast, right? Now, let's get on to that T-Bar 1 Tale of the Tape. He spent 11 years playing for the Calgary Flames, where he'd win the Stanley Cup in 1989. At 5'6", he spent 16 years in the NHL, playing in 1,084 games with 1,088 points. I'm talking about Theo Fleury. So buckle up. Here we go.
Hey everybody, Theo Fleury here, freedom fighter, and you're listening to the Sean Newman Podcast.
Welcome to the Sean Newman Podcast. Today, I'm joined by Mr. Theo Fleury. So, sir, welcome back.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
You know, I was saying this before we started. Episode 97, you were on the show. That was June 20th, 2020, as I recall. Now we're up into the 200s. A lot has changed guest-wise that's come on the show. I mean, you've been living in the world since then as well, and it's been a odd year and a bit, I would say. And yeah. A lot has gone on. A lot has changed. Some things haven't. We still got Trudeau kicking around, don't we?
Yeah. What's the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. Well, there it is, you know, and the shit show continues, right? You know, it's, but, you know, we've all, I guess, learned how to manage and deal with, you know, the insanity, the hypocrisy, the craziness, the, you know, the stupidism, I call it. I have a feeling that in the real near future, something's going to change. Something's going to happen. You know, we gotta fight back somehow. Right. And the only reason why we're in this situation is because everybody complied. Right. You know, and when you comply, it just gives them more ammunition, right, to put more restrictions on, more, you know, more stupid stuff that, you know. And I think I tweeted this out last week. I said, you know, the U.S. has 250 years and Canada is 150 years of, you know, freedom and democracy and all that. And then all of a sudden it doesn't work anymore, you know. So, you know, I find it, you know, really interesting that, you know, that we're in this state, you know, well, you know, you know, we're the Western world, you know, we're the Western world and we're running out of groceries. We're, you know, gas prices are ridiculous. Like, come on, you know, you don't have to be a Rhodes Scholar to be able to figure this out. You know, they're doing it on purpose.
You think they're doing it on purpose?
Guaranteed, man. Come on. We're the Western world. We've had, you know, Canada's one of the most abundant countries in the world of resources. And all of a sudden we're turning off the taps so that we can have, you know, unicorn farts and pixie dust and rainbows that are going to, you know, take care of us for the rest of our lives. You know, we're Canadians. All we know how to do is work, right? And we're really good at work and we're really good at innovation. We're really brilliant at solving problems and issues. And, you know, the guy in Ottawa thinks that he, you know, his paper water bottle thingies, you know, that he talks about, you know, that's where we're headed.
Well, it's more so than just the guy out in Canada now. When it comes to COVID and everything else, I mean, this is across the board. This is every province. This is leadership everywhere right now is putting in some funny things. And I agree with you. When it comes to Western Canada specifically, actually all of Canada, but Western, you know, being from here, growing up here, that's all anybody wants. Give us the problem, we'll find the solution. But right now we can't, even when we find solutions, nobody will listen to it. And I just go back to an interview I did with Mike Kuzmiskas, who's the CEO of iCord Blood Services. You know, he talks about antibodies and testing people who've had COVID, and the government won't look at it. And you're like, but I thought the idea was to get out of COVID. Yeah. I don't know. Right. Yeah, make people feel safe.
It's not right. You know, this is, you know, the thing about this ideology that they're selling to, you know, the West has been tried 24 times. Okay. Whatever you want to call it, communism, globalism, whatever it is, that we've tried it 24 times. And every single time it's failed. And the only byproduct that it produces is death. That's it. And that's where we're at. Because people are dropping like flies all over the place, you know, because of this kind of ideology, right? And, you know, I don't know how they think we're going to be able to heat our homes, you know, this winter, but, you know, this is, you know, it's deliberate. And if you can't see it, I'm sorry that you can't see it. But, you know, those of us who are awake and, you know, are the critical thinkers who are actually thinking for you, because you can't, obviously you can't think for yourself. You know, we're actually trying to save you, and we're not conspiracy theorists, because, you know, what is it? 80% of the population is now vaccinated.
It's more than that. It's 80, in Alberta, it's 87, I think.
So, you know, are you traveling more? Are you getting any more of your freedoms back? No, because they, in this type of ideology, you don't get them back.
87.6, 12 plus has gotten their first dose. Right. I think I've been talking a lot about this, Theo, and I do want to get to Kyle Beach, because I think that's a,
well, that all ties into all this too. So, you know.
Well, let's go here for a second. 87.6% of the population, 12 plus in Alberta, speaking specifically to Alberta, has got their first dose. 81.4 now with their second dose. Mm-hmm. I've noticed a division in the way everyone talks, that it's us versus them, critical thinker sheep, and vice versa, right? They'll say that you're, you know, down a rabbit hole in a cult. I don't know, right? Like, we all know the division.
I'm in the good cult, though. I'm in the good cult.
Don't you think the only way out of this is to somehow, I call it like sewing it back together, bringing us back together. Somehow we have to stop the name calling. I'm talking the population.
Right.
Because the longer we get that they allow us to divide, the easier it is to separate us out and make us focus on this while all the other crap's going on.
I agree with you, but, you know, I'm not at that point yet to, you know, I'm in survival mode. So when you're in survival mode, you're only thinking about you and your family. That's it, right? How am I going to survive? How am I going to create income so that I can put gas in my car, so I can heat my home, right? You know, that's the only thing I'm thinking about, you know? And I know that the majority of people that I talk to, you know, that's what we're thinking, right? Because we're slowly seeing, you know, these policies, you know, are creating a lot of damage, you know, they're causing trauma, right? You know, and the reason why, you know, the mental health, the state of mental illness, mental health all over the planet has spiked exponentially is because they don't want us talking, right? They don't want us, you know, they don't want you and I to have this kind of conversation, you know? And
I will agree with you on that. I just got pulled again from YouTube for a conversation I had with Todd Kenyon. He's a PhD marine biologist. And honestly, I'm trying to like think of what was so offensive in the interview that would be yanked. It was pulled because of talking against the vaccine is what kind of the bullet points were. And I was like, I could care. Like, if you want to go get it, I don't know how many times I got to say this on here. I'm no doctor. You want to go get the vaccine, go get it.
Yeah.
I just think I should have my choice in whether or not I get it. Mm-hmm. And
well, I know from a spiritual perspective that God created the greatest invention, which was us, right? And in his invention, he created this immune system that pretty much could survive most things. And so you're telling me that God created the COVID-19 virus that would kill people? That's the kind of God we have? That's the kind of, you know what I mean? So it's like, it just doesn't make sense to me at all, you know, why we're in this state, like from every aspect, you know, physically, emotionally, spiritually, you know, you name it, you know, the Bible predicted this, right? The last battle of good versus evil, right? And, you know, the only reason why I'm still here and I'm not dead is because I have to have faith, right? I have to have faith in something greater than myself. And God, hey, you know what? If God presses my button today, you know what? I'm going to a way better place than where I'm at right now. Guaranteed. Right. So, you know, from a spiritual perspective, it's the only thing that's kept me sane through all of this because, you know, I have mental health issues. Right. And the only thing that's keeps me sane and keeps me, you know, thinking in a sort of rational way is my faith. Right. And, you know, they close churches down. You know, they closed arenas down. You know, arenas like a church, right? It's a gathering place for community. And that's where you get everything there, right? Your kids get the lessons of being a part of a team. The parents get to interact with themselves. They organize, they fundraise, you know, all of these things. And you know, all of that was taken away. And you know, when we're talking about 6 to 8 year olds who are now thinking about suicide, having suicidal ideation in our 6 and 8 year olds. What the hell does that tell you?
That's not good.
Exactly. Sure. Exactly.
When you say 6 to 8 year olds are having suicidal thoughts, where are you getting that from? I have you had people talk about that?
Yes. All day, every day, man. I've dealt more in the suicide space than at any point I've been in this space for 15 years. You know, I've sat with people who have fucking knives out who are going to kill themselves. And I run over to their house and talk them off the ledge. You know, I met with a guy 2 nights ago, same thing, you know? So, and they don't care. They do not care one bit at all. Nothing.
Well, one of the words that I would say has been, just in the last 3 months, maybe even less than that, last 2 months, maybe as the temperature has been turned up a notch, one of the words that comes across my mind that, yeah, you know, I've never been in the mental health arena, so to speak, but doing the podcast, you get texts, you get emails, et cetera, et cetera. And by being open to this side of things, which a lot of media is not, you find out a good pulse of what society's talking about or part of society's talking about. Yeah. And the word terrified, I can't tell you how many times that has come across my desk of people being emotionally terrified of where we're heading.
Yeah.
And they don't have anybody to talk to about it. Right. And I just sit here and use myself as the guinea pig on that one and go, these conversations, Theo, I'm allowed. Well, I don't know. I'm not allowed. I do these. I've opened the space and now I do them multiple times a week. And it's the greatest thing for my brain ever because I don't have to sit on thoughts that, you know, I get to expose them and get to hear you and back and forth we go. A lot of people don't have the option of that.
Yeah. No, I know. And, you know, we've done such a poor job of, you know, creating environments or spaces or groups of people, you know, where we're allowed to talk about, you know, I'm terrified, right? You know, or I'm scared, or I'm lonely, I'm angry, I'm frustrated, right? You know, there's no place to talk about that kind of stuff, right? So, and the worst place you can be when you experience mental health issues is inside of your own head, okay? So if you can't go out, if you can't participate in society, if you can't go to church, if you can't go to the arena, if you can't go to gymnastics, you know, all these things, what happens? You're inside of your own head. And that's the worst place to be, you know, because your brain, from my understanding and my experience in the last 15 years and having my own experience, is, you know, the worst place for me to be is inside of my own head. And when I'm, you know, when I'm at home, you know, and not participating in, you know, the world like I used to, then I'm in my own head. And that's a scary place to be, right? And so where do you need to get to? You need to get into your heart space, because that's where all the good stuff is, right? Compassion, empathy, forgiveness, all the wonderful things that we need to learn as human beings to become good human beings and, you know, put our past traumas behind us. Is we got to get in our heart space. You know, when you're angry, when you're resentful, when you're frustrated, which is the majority of the population, you're not getting in your heart space. Your head is ruling the day. It's ruling you. And, you know, you can see that building, right? So, you know, there's three fight, flight, freeze. Those are our three reactions to fear and terror, right? We're either going to fight, we're going to freeze, or we're going to run, right? And I, you know, and I'm also an empath too. So I feel stuff, you know, it's one of the gifts that I got from being sexually abused was, you know, I'm very aware of everything that's going around me. And I tell you, every day I walk out the door, like I get knocked over with anxiety. And what is anxiety? Anxiety is fear, right? And so, you know, you know, our television boxes, our telephones are feeding fear all day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's why you're getting emails that I'm terrified, because you know, it'd be nice to have an external brain, meaning Trudeau or people in leadership, because we need an external brain to come in and give us hope. Right. And nobody selling hope.
Well, we're trying to sell hope here. We're trying to offer.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, exactly. But, you know, it's hard because, you know, you're fighting the majority, right? You know, you're fighting the majority and you know, it's tough, you know. What do they say? You know, the first one through the wall always gets bloody, right? Not a lot of people want to get bloody. Not a lot of people want to go through that wall, right? And make a stand, right? Because they're afraid of fear of judgment, fear of loss of job, fear. It's all fear, right? You know? And so, you know, I had no idea what political affiliation I had until Trump walked down the escalator in 2015. And I said, what the fuck is this guy doing running for president of the United States? And that sort of piqued my interest. And then I started to follow, you know, I started to watch US politics because Canadian politics is fucking boring as hell. Right. And so, you know, I started watching CNN and Fox and MSNBC and all this stuff. And, you know, I figured out I was a patriot. I'm a freedom lover, you know, I don't need the government in my business. You know, I'm very capable of running my own life. And, you know, I there's three things as a citizen, right? Pay my taxes, don't break the law, and vote. And other than that, stay the fuck out of my life, you know? And now they're in every single aspect of my life, right?
Do you find that we don't, like, I don't think a lot of people understand freedom.
No.
Honestly, and I don't think, I'll put myself under the bus. I don't think I understood freedom. And some days right now, I'm not sure I understand it, right? Like,
right.
We want, you know, to steal from Orwell. We want Big Brother, the government, to kind of take care of us. And at times that's great. Right now I'm like,
but they're not. No, I mean, they're not, because off of our backs, and if we weren't paying taxes, there is no government. The government doesn't make money. They don't make money. It comes from us breaking our backs in the oil fields, in the McDonald's, in the, you know, it's because of us that they have jobs. And then all of a sudden, now you're greater than all of us? No, you work for me. I do not work for you. Never have, never will. And I will die on that hill, because that's freedom. Right? And everybody thinks that the government's going to bail them out. No, they're going to make your life absolutely as miserable as possible. And then what are they going to do? They're going to get on their jets and they're going to fly all over the world. And then they're going to tell me that I'm a racist and I'm a polluter and I don't care about the environment. Bullshit. 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 You work for me. I don't work for you. That's freedom.
I like that. You have a nice way of putting that with a couple F-bombs in there that makes me go, yeah. Is it, I find the tactics that are used to try and make you feel like you're an insane person. Yeah. What's going on right now is the latest one I've heard, Theo, I don't know if you've heard this one, is that all anti-vaxxers are QAnon conspiracy theorists, et cetera. They're trying to, like,
yep,
make you feel almost more absurd. They tie you into Trump because all of a sudden, listen, I think maybe you won't agree with this, but I think for majority of people, they went, man, if Trump just let off on the Twitter a bit, he would have been a great president.
Right.
And I'm not saying, well, no, I am saying, I think that, like, if he just would have let off on the Twitter, I think he would have just walked in for a second round and away we go. Maybe I'm wrong on that. I have no idea. But to me, he said some things on Twitter. I'm like, oh, that's just, you're just asking for the other side to lambaste and you're giving them opportunities.
Right.
But for majority of people, they look at what he did and the underlying things Trump stood for and did and accomplished. We're talking workers, policy, overseas, sitting down with some of the world leaders that nobody's been able to pull off, et cetera. And you just look at his track and you go, what he did was actually pretty good.
Yeah.
But what he said aloud at times really pissed some people off. Now what they're doing is they're equating what, this is the funny thing, is like the people who are not getting vaccinated are Trump supporters, QAnon supporters, white supremacists. I don't know. What other ones can I slide in?
We're patriots, freedom lovers, right?
Yeah. And what
that's who we are. Like, all that other bullshit is fucking social media garbage, right? You know, it's what gets you clicks. It what gets you, you know, all this stuff, right? Trump was just playing the game. He was playing the social media game. It's a game. That's all it is, right? That's all it is. And the guys who are really good at it, you know, they're good at it. And Trump's a pretty smart dude, right? You know, he's a smart dude.
You think he's going to win in the next election?
Well, unless they try and steal it again, you know? So, yeah. Joe Biden did not win the election. He had 8 people in cars at his rallies. Trump had 60,000 people at his rallies. It's not hard to figure out, man. It's not hard to figure out. It's not hard to figure out. You know, what is Build Back Better? Go read Klaus Schwab's book.
I did.
The Great Reset.
I did.
It's right out of that book. It's right out of that book. But people.
Why do you think that is? I've been curious about this for a long
time. Because it's so radical. It's so crazy to think that that could actually happen. Didn't we learn our lesson? Didn't we learn our lesson?
And which lesson is that? There's been many.
Well, Germany. Didn't we learn our lesson? Right? But because they don't teach that anymore in school, right? They don't teach history. So now that's just some fairy tale that maybe happened. I don't know if it happened. Did it really happen? Did Auschwitz happen? Right? So it's been systematically, you know, and here we are. Here we are.
I think they're still teaching it, Theo. The thing is, why
haven't we learned our lesson?
Because the further we get away from it, I would argue, the further we get away from it, I just think we think it can't happen again. One, two, I think we think we're smarter than them. I think by being more advanced, having better technology, all of a sudden we're smarter than our ancestors.
Right.
And I think the longer I'm on this planet, the more people I talk to, the more I realize we make the same mistakes that we've been making for hundreds of years. We just have bigger guns and smarter technology to do it with. That's about it.
Right.
It doesn't mean that we don't like inherit scientific wealth, so to speak, right? We do. I mean, they didn't have the internet back in the 40s. They didn't. Like they couldn't even have thought. Maybe they could have thought up some idea like that, but
which made it a lot easier to implement that type of, you know, ideology, right?
Well, I tell you what, if you took out social media now, 10 years, it never happens. Yeah. We're not in the predicament we're in the way it is right now, because I mean, social media, you've seen it.
Yeah.
Within 24 hours, something on the other side of the planet can affect everybody. And I'm not talking COVID. I'm just talking anything to do with any story. It's just that instant. It's everybody's got their phone in their hand.
Yeah.
And it's just like, boom, everybody knows about it.
Right.
When in the history of the planet have we ever had that? Never.
No. I agree with you. But the information that's getting pumped out is straight lies. All of it. The whole thing, right? Is because you're getting suppressed because you're concerned about the vaccine. You're getting suppressed. Why? Because maybe your guest is talking something that may be truthful, that may be legitimate.
Yeah, the censorship thing is extremely, extremely interesting and dangerous all at the same time. I go, you know, I'm a nobody. I honestly think of myself as a nobody, Theo. I just do a show.
Yeah, but you're attached to an algorithm. They know exactly what Sean Newman is doing. They know everything. They know every word, every phrase, because it's going into the AI, right? And it's spitting you out as a disturber of whatever, right? So, you know.
Sean Newman, the disturber.
But you make this argument. And I'm a fucking crazy conspiracy theorist. I'm off my rocker. Why? Because I told the world that I have mental health issues, right? So now they can attach me being a fucking crazy person because I was vulnerable enough to fucking talk about my truth. And now you're going to use it against me and say that I fucking lot or, you know, too many hits to the head. Well, guess what? I just did an IQ test and I'm fucking, you know, up here. So the concussion thing, the CTE thing doesn't work, right?
You being a position, or you, Theo, being in a position of notoriety, obviously, you're Theo Fleury. I mean, it comes with a little bit of clout, so to speak. You've in this country, right? Stanley Cups, Olympics, et cetera, mean an awful lot. So the attacks you must have had and continue to have, I assume, are,
it's all personal. There is no argument. There is no argument. There's nothing to back up anything of what I'm saying. It's automatically go cut this guy in half. Well, guess what? I've been through absolutely every single thing that life can throw at me. Do you think, you know, you're going to intimidate me by telling me that I have concussion problems, that I'm have mental illness, that I'm fucking crazy. Sorry. Sorry. It's not going to work. Right. You know, I'm a freedom fighter, patriot. As a patriot, freedom fighter, you know, I'm fucking William Wallace standing at, you know, standing at.
Yelling, you know, freedom.
Yeah. Yeah.
I got two sports ones I want to bring up with you. First, I want to talk about Kyle Beach and his story. Obviously, I'm sure that one hits, I don't know, close to home for you. What are your thoughts on Kyle Beach's story? The fact that it was, I don't know, man, kept under wraps for a fuck ton of a time. Pardon. Well, I don't think I got to say pardon the French. I always apologize to mom if she listens to this. She's always giving me a hard time on the swears. And I know a lot of people don't love the swearing, but I mean, geez.
I always tell people, you know, like I'll have, you know, some elderly women in my audience when I'm speaking, and I, you know, I throw out the old, you know, F-bomb every once in a while. They come up to me after and they said, we really loved your speech, but you know, it's the swearing. And I said, I grew up in a locker room, you know, every second word out of our mouth is, you know, it's a verb, it's an adjective, it's a noun, it's a preposition, right? We use it to emphasize, you know, what we're talking about. So, yeah, that's just who I am. And that's the environment that I grew up in where we, you know, but to, you know, to get back to the Kyle Beach thing, I was not shocked at all. I was not shocked in one aspect, right? Because, you know, the Chicago Blackhawks are the flavor of the month, right? Just like Penn State was, just like Harvey Weinstein, Jeffrey Epstein, the Boy Scouts of America, the Catholic Church, right? And I'm like, when are we going to get the lesson? When are we get the, we've had millions of examples, millions of opportunities to change this. You know, what do they say? I read something today. There's 800,000 pedophiles in the United States, and not one of them has to have a QR code to move around.
800,000?
800,000 pedophiles.
800,000.
800,000. And they don't need a QR code or a passport to move freely around, right? So what does that tell you? What does that tell you, right? So, and here's the thing. If you tell a lie, that lie has to last the rest of your life, right? But eventually you get caught. Everybody gets caught when they tell a lie, right? And all the Chicago Blackhawks had to do was when Kyle went to management and filed the complaint, remove the video guy from the organization pending an investigation. And the media wouldn't even have to know about it because he's the fucking video guy. And he sits in a room with 300 TVs and that's his job. Nobody would have missed him. And then they could have done the investigation and then came out and the story would have been completely different. But every time this story comes out, what's the first thing they do? Deny. It didn't happen. Okay. They deny it didn't happen. So now the reporters are all curious. So they start doing their work and then boom, it actually happened. So now everybody's scrambling, right? Everybody's throwing everybody under the bus, right? And what happens? Stan Bowman has to resign. Quenneville has to resign, you know, Shovel Dayoff's in a shit show storm, right? All they had to do was say, yes, it happened. We are sorry, and we are going to change this. That's all they had to do, and it would have been done.
So here's the logical question then, right? For people who haven't heard the Kyle Beach story, which I assume everybody has, but if they haven't, you know, back in, it was what, May 2010, yes?
Yeah.
Right in that time frame when the Blackhawks are going for their Stanley Cup, He makes the accusations against Brad Aldrich, the video guy.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, it goes nowhere. They basically say they'll address it after the Stanley Cup playoffs, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And
so what I've been talking to all the hockey guys I know. First, the most important, well, not maybe not the most important question, but one of the questions that comes to mind, Theo, because you've won a Stanley Cup. How fucking important is the video guy during a playoff run?
I don't know. I didn't watch video, so I didn't have to. Right. I fell asleep in the video session. So
then the next logical question comes. So why wouldn't you do exactly what you just said? Because that's exactly what I feel like should have been done. Like just put them on. Like that's a pretty heavy allegation.
Yeah.
And I don't know. You got to think somebody had a sneaky suspicion something was going on. You can't things like that and go, oh no, we had no idea.
Yeah. Well, that's the reaction, right? So instead of being proactive in all these situations, which we've had plenty of opportunity to implement, you know, policy and, you know, how we deal with it, right? From A to Z, how we deal with it. If this happens, go A, B, C, D, all the way down the line, right? And there's that protocol in most organizations, right? Most HR departments have a sexual, you know, whatever, harassment, sexual, whatever.
Right.
But every time, deny first, deny it even happened. But eventually what happens? The truth comes out, and the truth came out. And at every opportunity they had to say, you know what? Yes, we knew and we fucked up. What did they do? They just kept fucking throwing people under the bus and continuing to deny it, right? And I have to give Kyle Beach's lawyer all the credit here because she is one smart cookie. Because she, you know, whenever the NHL said something that wasn't the truth, she was on Twitter saying, nope, that's not how it happened, right? So they just kept digging themselves a bigger hole, a bigger hole, a bigger hole. And I don't know if they get out of this one.
Like how high does this run in the NHL, do you think? Like how, I guess I'm like, to me, this seems like, I love the game of hockey. I love the NHL. I love everything about it, but I hear this story and then you start talking to guys who've played in the show and I mean yourself as well and other hockey players.
This is a direct result of, when Sheldon came out, this is a direct result of doing nothing. Now it's at the NHL level. It's not at the junior level. Now this is the this is the big leagues. This is the result of not being proactive. They had lots of opportunity. They had opportunity when Sheldon came out. They had opportunity when I came out. When Penn State came out, when Boy Scouts of America came out, they had lots of opportunities. And this is the result of being reactive. And you can't suppress this stuff either, because it hits people right in the heart. Even reporters hits them right in the heart, and they're not gonna, you know, push this one to the side, because this one gets eyeballs and clicks and notoriety if you're getting the scoop on this story. So this one's not going away. Because it's at the NHL, National Hockey League, right? And what does the National Hockey League pride themselves on? We're wearing suits everywhere we go. You know, it's, you know, we're supposed to be a certain way. Well, this just absolutely destroyed every, you know, one of those ideals that the NHL portrayed themselves to be. And believe me, I don't want to fucking throw the NHL under the bus. Everything I have in my life is because of the NHL. But I'm also a sexual abuse survivor, and I'm also in this every single day of my life, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I've dedicated my life to make change. So I can't leave this one alone either. And maybe I won't get in the Hockey Hall of Fame because I'm so outspoken about this, but you know, when you get sexually abused, it is a living murder. It's a living murder is what I call it, because you never recover. Yeah, you can get to some sort of semblance of, you know, a bit of normality in your life, but this is, it's a fucking life sentence. And the majority of people who've been sexually abused are those people who are in the stats of suicide. They're in every single prison in Canada. Right? So I don't know. I don't know when we're going to get the lesson, but it keeps coming up, and we've had plenty of opportunity, you know. Well, here's a perfect example. So one of the biggest businesses on the planet is child and human trafficking, $150 billion industry. Okay. And who are the biggest consumers of child trafficking? Pedophiles. They're the biggest consumers, and it's $150 billion industry. And guess where one of the worst places on the planet for child and human trafficking is? Alberta.
What? What?
Yes.
Why?
Go listen to my podcast with Paul Brandt, because we talked about it. That's his cause.
Paul Brandt's cause right now is
child and human trafficking.
In Alberta.
In Alberta is one of the worst places. Canada's one of the worst places.
You fucking pulling my leg right now?
Nope. No. So tonight there's a 10-year-old girl who's going to be trafficked 10 times, 10 different sexual partners who are paying to have sex with a 10-year-old girl. 10 times she's going to have sex with 10 different men. And you know how much one child can produce for a human trafficker per year? Between $100,000 and $200,000.
You know, I don't have physical reactions to many things, you know, mm-hmm. like,
yeah,
you,
So are you shocked?
No, I'm disgusted. Are you
shocked at how the NHL handled the situation after hearing what I just told you?
Yes.
Yeah. So like it's so messed up that this is happening right underneath of our noses. And nobody is doing anything about it.
Now I'm gonna have to go listen to you and Paul Brandt. Mm-hmm. I had no idea, Theo. I had no idea.
Therein lies the problem, right? And you know, I made a promise to myself that I wasn't going to fucking sugarcoat this anymore at all. I'm not going to sugarcoat it because I need to fucking shock you into, you know, at least being an advocate for it, right? At least talk about it. But it's disgusting.
Well, I think all my listeners can relate in some way, shape, or form to having kids, right? Or if not kids, nieces and nephews. I got three young kids, you know, 5, 4, 2. And I got nieces who are in that 10, 12-year-old range. And that disturbs me. I can think of some pretty heavy words to go with what you just said. Yep. And I don't know even...
This is the underbelly of society. This is the ugliness, the evilness that lives in the underbelly of society. Evil. Evil. Evil.
Is that, you know, I'm hearing evil tossed around an awful lot lately.
Yeah.
That's a word that is being used a mm-hmm. lot.
Yep.
When you talk about, I'm just going to have, geez, I did not see this coming. When I go do my digging into this child trafficking thing, because like I say, I'm glad you didn't sugarcoat it, because I had no bloody idea, which means everybody who's sitting here right now, I'm going to assume 9 out of 10 of them are going, what the deuce was that? Okay. Well, after I've heard something, you can't unhear it, right, Theo?
Yeah.
Like it's just like once you've seen something, you can't unsee that.
No.
And so you can lie to yourself, but at the end of the day, now it's there. Okay. Well, I got to figure out what to do with that. So I'm going to do some digging because that's what I do.
All right.
Why is it then if this is a stat in Alberta, in Canada, why is it that politicians and everybody else isn't addressing it and trying to change it? That's our children.
You tell me. You tell me. Do they got their hands in some of that 150?
It's a pretty heavy accusation to make about.
Well, I'm just saying. I'm just thinking out loud.
No. I'm not trying to put it on. I'm just saying, like, you're saying this runs high up. That's what you think.
Yeah. And so, okay, let's talk about the grooming process then. Okay. The grooming process. Sure. So, you know, pedophiles infiltrate themselves into kids' organizations, right? And they get themselves in a position of power and trust. Okay. So once they groom all the adults that they're the greatest guy ever, you know, then he starts grooming the kids, right? Then he starts grooming the kids. And then eventually he starts abusing the kids. And then the kids, you know, one brave kid stands up and says, this is what's happening to me. Well, he's groomed all the adults in the organization. They said, no way, this guy can never do something like that. Right? That's how it works.
When you talk about grooming.
And they're grooming the 5 to 11 year olds now with the vaccine, because they brought the Sesame Street guys
in. I saw
that. That's called grooming. That's grooming.
And I call that priming, but same idea then.
And so now in the school system, we're hearing about, you know, teachers that are bringing in sexuality into the classroom. That's grooming. Our kids need, if they want to talk about sex, they talk about it with me. I don't need teachers, you know, grooming my kids to have sex with adults, because that's what's happening. So the underbelly of society, and everybody's going to listen to this and think I'm fucking off my rocker and fucking completely gone, but I'm in this 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. There's 6-month-old babies that are having sex with adults. That's how sick this is, and that's how deep this goes.
Man, that's heavy.
So am I surprised about the Chicago Blackhawks? Not at all. Not at all. Because these guys infiltrate themselves into positions of power and trust.
I don't even know what the fuck to say to that. I don't know. I have nothing to add. I'm like, what the hell?
And that's the problem. That's the problem. It's so horrific. It's so fucking gross. It's so out of the realm of how we think. Right? But it happens. Every second of every minute of every hour of every day, some kid is being taken advantage of.
You talk Kyle Beach.
Yeah.
One thing people have a hard time understanding. Hell, I have a hard time understanding.
Power. I know the question you're going to ask.
Yeah. Well, here's a 19, 20-year-old kid.
Where's Kyle Beach playing right now?
Europe.
His biggest fear, if I tell, is that the end of my hockey career?
it was the end of Kyle's hockey career because he's playing third division in Germany. And if you go back and look at how many 11th overall picks didn't play a game in the National Hockey League, Kyle Beach is the only one.
Fuck, that should tell you enough right there.
So his worst nightmare came true.
I didn't know that. Didn't play a game in the show.
Didn't play one game.
That's an that tells you enough right there, doesn't it?
And why didn't I tell? Why didn't I tell? Because I knew. First of all, I wouldn't be believed. And second of all, that would be the end of my hockey career.
Fuck, you are not kidding. Sorry, I had to Google this as we're talking. He played for the Rockford Ice Hogs in the AHL.
Yeah. They buried him.
Hartford Wolfpack. And then he's been overseas ever since 2013,
2014. Yeah. His worst nightmare came true.
That power thing.
That's power. I just explained to you power and why we don't go to authorities, why we keep it inside. And this is fucking 2000 and what? 21. 10, 13?
Oh, yes, 2010, yeah.
2010. Yeah. Sheldon's story's been out for 20 years. So, I don't know, man. This is systemic. This is fucking systemic. This is the underbelly of evil in society. And when I try to say this, people say I'm fucking crazy or this is Q conspiracy shit. No, I am in this 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You know, when I get off this podcast with you, I guarantee I'm going to have 3 or 4 messages from somebody telling me this stuff. They experienced it. They went through it. I'm suicidal. I don't know what to do. Can you help me? That's my life. Every day, 24 hours a day, 7. That's my life. So don't fucking tell me that I'm a conspiracy fucking QAnon fucking crazy person. I live it every day. I live it. And I'm honored and blessed and grateful that people trust me with this stuff.
What do you think of Aaron Rodgers and the harassment he's faced by not taking the vaccine and then getting over COVID and everything else?
It's typical, right? It's typical, right? Aaron Rodgers, Joe Rogan, Theo Fleury don't fit the narrative. So what are they going to do? Cancel us. They're going to try and cancel us. Right? It's automatic. Don Cherry, you people. Wear a poppy. Right? It's the world we're living in, right? You know? So I give Aaron Rodgers a lot of credit for courage, right? That's what courage looks like when you go against the grain. Right?
Yeah, when you stand up for what you believe in.
Yeah, that's freedom. That's fucking freedom. What Aaron Rodgers did is what freedom is. Freedom of speech, freedom of choice. My body, my choice. Right? But you're not allowed to do that anymore. You're supposed to just lay down for the government and let them do whatever they want to you. Well, sorry, dude. I know that I've contributed about $30 million to the government in my lifetime. And I didn't fucking break my... I can't even get out of fucking bed in the morning because I played my sport and I had to give fucking 40-some percent to the government so they could fucking act like fucking crazy people. Think they can run my life? Sorry. Not going to happen.
It's not going to happen. You know, and you know what? And you know, I ain't no fucking dumb jock. Not a dumb jock. I can read, you know, I've experienced the worst life can throw at you. I've experienced the worst of the worst. And I'm still here. Why? Because I'm fucking smart. Smart. I know about psychology. I know about neuroscience. I know about, you know, taking somebody who's broken and I can turn them into Theo Fleury, a healed person. I ain't no dummy.
So yeah, well, you've had experiences that very few in life ever get to have, good and bad.
Yeah, and I lived in the underbelly of society for a long time. I know what goes on, right? When you're, you know, four or five levels under the streets of New York, you're hanging out with people who, you know, are damaged, broken, abused, neglected, abandoned, abused spiritually, emotionally, physically abused, right?
How do you find the entrance to four or five levels under New York?
Just ask around, man. Just ask around. And then once I was in, right? You know, every fucking limo driver in New York, every taxi driver in New York has dropped people off, right? So you jump in a cab and you go, yeah, I don't want to hang out on top tonight. I want to go down a few levels. Oh, yeah, sure. Just go to this door, knock on the door, and away you go.
Yeah, and once again, I don't think the common person understands anything, but well, I certainly don't. I've never knocked on that door, thankfully.
Yeah.
Right?
Right. But those are my people. They understood me. They got me. Right? Because they all had the same experience as I have. And I didn't feel comfortable telling my teammates about what I was going through. Right? So, you know, I experienced a lot in my life and I'm still here and I'm still alive, right? And why am I still alive? I think it's to have conversations like this, right? Where I have the experience where, you know, like I said, I have moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas and aunts and uncles who are reaching out to me and saying, you know, my kid is off the rails, off the hook. I don't know what to do. Can you help him? Yeah, absolutely. I can help him. If he wants help, I can help him.
Well, let's do this with your final, the Crude Master final question of the interview. The last one, shout out to Heath and Tracy for all their support since the podcast started. If you could sit down, normally I ask if you could sit down with somebody to pick their brain. You know, we did that the first time around, but I'm curious now because I think the world could use more discussion from opposing sides to try and find solutions and try and get both sides to the table, so to speak, right? Right. If you could pick somebody out of Alberta, let's pick somebody realistic that's in the realm of maybe wanting to sit down with Theo Fleury who argues the opposite side of you, Theo. Yep. Who do you think you'd want to sit down with or challenge to come and sit and have a chat with you?
I'll sit down with anybody. You know, there's not one person that pops into my head. You know, I think government right now has gone rogue. They're addicted to power. You know, just similar to, you know, anybody who's an abuser, you know, they love power, right? And that's their drug, right? That's their drug of choice is power, right? And it's the worst addiction to have, the addiction to power. You know, everybody thinks that addiction is the actual substance that you put in your body. It's not. It's the chemicals that you can produce in your body that you get addicted to, right? So I was addicted to chaos and drama. And that's the only place I felt safe. And when things were calm in my life, and everybody watched me play hockey, what happened as soon as I stepped on the ice? Chaos.
and I created it because that's the only place I felt safe. So I was addicted to chaos and drama. Some people are addicted to power. Some people are addicted to anger. And that's what's underneath the addiction, right? And we don't talk about that in the addiction space, right? We just talk about what we use as a coping mechanism, right? But really it's the behavior that we're addicted to, right? Mm. And that experience comes with experiencing trauma, right? That's why I talk about trauma so much. Is, you know, trauma happens to us, leaves us in emotional pain and suffering. And emotional pain, we can't see it. We can't see it, right? Because everybody's good at wearing lipstick. I call it lipstick. When we leave our houses, everything's good, right? Got the nice car, got the nice family, dressed nice, our hair's combed all the time, but our insides never match the outsides. And it's getting into the inside stuff and understanding the chaos and the drama. That's the only way I'm going to heal. Because I got to be okay with peace, joy, happiness, and serenity. Because that's the ultimate goal in the mental health space. That's where we're trying to get to. But if we don't look at the insides, if we don't understand, you know, the anger, the chaos, the drama, the neglect, the abandonment, I'm not good enough, I'm not lovable. If we don't get to those places, we won't be able to understand. And so we're always going to be in turmoil, right? Until we solve that riddle of why we do the things that we do, right? And, you know, like I got elevated on the podcast and people are going to say, Theo's still angry. And I say, you know what? Don't confuse passion with anger. Right? See how that perception can be.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I mean? Like, I love people. I love their stories. I love helping them. You know, that's who I am at the core of who I am. Before I was abused, before I left Russell, Manitoba, I was a kind, respectful, hardworking, considerate kid. And then I went through that abuse, and it turned me into an angry, resentful, you know, crazy person. And then I went on that journey of alcohol and drugs and gambling and food and sex and all that stuff because I had all this emotional pain and scars that were left behind from my experience. And I had no tools. I had no tools in my toolbox, none. Would show me a path of peace, joy, happiness, and serenity, right? And then I wrote the book, and the book came out, and then I got run over by people, and I was like, holy shit, this is bigger than I could possibly even imagine. How many people have been sexually abused? How many people have had unwanted sexual experiences, right? And then, you know, I went out on the road and I started speaking, and then I was speaking at conferences where there were experts in the field, psychiatrists, psychologists, neuroscientists, right? And I Velcroed myself to these people and I said, I need to learn. I need to get educated. And they were more than happy to share all their information with me. And what I'm really good at is taking all that science and turning it into where you understand. Right? That's what makes me great in this space, is because I can take all this information that people wouldn't understand and turn it into, you know, information that everybody can understand. Right? So yeah, you know, I'm a really passionate guy when it comes to, you know, all of this stuff. And, you know, I wear my heart on my sleeve, right? I'm just one of those guys that wears my heart on my sleeve. Yeah. Sometimes I say stupid shit.
We all say stupid shit,
right? Sometimes I say really intelligent stuff too, right? But I'm not going to change that piece of me, right? I'm not going to change that piece of me because, you know, it's like, whenever
you know, a high profile pedophile case comes across the board, you know, everybody wants to interview me, right? And I know that the guys that, you know, are in charge of putting the information out to the world, you know, the headliners, I give them the headline. And I say, Canada is the Disneyland for pedophiles. And I know that that's going to go everywhere, right? Because I want people to wake up. Because I know, I could show you stories on this phone that would make you throw up. They're so disgusting.
I think of...
But they come to me because they know that I'm not going to judge them. I'm not going to judge their story, right? I'm going to give them a big hug and say, hey, welcome to the team. Welcome to the group. Let's go heal. Let's go unpack all this stuff and let's get you on a path of healing. Right. And I can tell you the group that I'm the most grateful for is the Indigenous community. Cause those guys gave me my life back. I went to 420 of the 630 communities, and they're the greatest untapped resource of medicine to heal the world on the planet. And I am convinced because they took me under their wing and they showed me how to heal. They showed me how to heal.
That's maybe something everybody should hear, Theo.
Yeah. I say it all the time now. I say it all the time, you know, because I had, and this is going to cause a fucking shitstorm, but I'm going to say it anyways. So I got COVID a month and a half ago. I had COVID. And for the first 3 days, it was fucking hell. It was hell. And I'm not vaccinated. So I called my friend, the medicine man, and I said, I need something. So he drove up here, gave me the medicine. I took 4 doses of the medicine. And the next day I was good to go. So when I say, you know, And what the medicine man tells me is that everything, cancer, diabetes, everything that I need to heal is right out here, right out my door. And it comes in the version of a plant. And it comes in its natural state, right? And what I've learned about medicine is that big pharma, everything's synthetic, okay? Every version of big pharma is synthetic, including the vaccines is synthetic. And when I put a synthetic chemical in my body has no idea what to do with it. So I get a short-term solution for a long-term problem. Okay. Well, now I got to get rid of all of that synthetic waste that's left behind from this medicine. And where does it go through? It goes through my kidneys, it goes through my liver, and it goes through my intestines, right? And if my body doesn't know how to get rid of it, what happens? The sludge builds up, right? And at the end of every big pharma commercial, what's the last 10 seconds? The side effects. And those are the side effects is because I can't get rid of that synthetic version, right? But if I go to the medicine man or I go to a functional medicine doctor and they give me medicine, it's in its natural state. And when I put it in my body knows exactly what to do with it. And it also knows exactly how to get rid of it as well. And it's not putting any pressure on my liver or my kidneys or my intestines, right?
It's interesting. I don't think it's so black and white in my opinion. I think, you know, when you look at medicine, traditional medicine, like the medicine man, absolutely what you're talking about makes complete sense to me. Yep. There's a lot of modern innovation through the medical system that is brilliant, that has saved lives, extended lives, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
For sure. But why do we have the disease in the first place? Because it's in our food, it's in our chemicals, it's in everything. Why do we have to have it in the first place?
Yeah, I would. That's one of the things that people point to right now with the vaccination is we don't know the long-term effects of it. And when the long-term effects, if they ever do come, you know, that's pure speculation.
Right.
But when they do come, if they did, by that time it's 10, 20 years down the road and nobody's going to chalk it up to unless you do some real digging on it.
Yep.
And by that time, the entire population of the world is what they're pushing for is going to have it and it'll just be so commonplace, nobody will ever piece it together.
Right.
If it were to happen. Once again, I use speculation because I know people are going to try.
I'm not anti-vax. I'm not anti-vax.
I don't think you need to say that, Theo. And I hear that an
often. But here's my reason.
Yeah.
Here's my reason, because I get attacked.
Everybody gets attacked for being anti-vax.
So I tell them, according to, I think it's Pfizer or Moderna maybe, that the trials are going to be over in 2023. So in 2023, come back to me, give me the data. I will look over the data and then I'll make my decision. But I'm not going to be forced to take something that I don't know anything about, that you don't know, and you're the manufacturer and you don't know. So I'm not going to take it. And I believe that God gave me an immune system that could take care of anything. And at the end of the day, if he wants me dead, all he's got to do is press the button.
Well, and I've brought up,
I don't have control over that.
I brought up this issue has been going on for 300 years now.
Yes.
So in the 1700s, you know, you had this thing called smallpox. I don't know if anybody's heard of that one. Yep. And it killed a lot of people.
Yeah.
And they argued about vaccinations back then.
Right.
And here we sit 300 years later doing the same bloody thing, arguing about if every healthy person under the sun should get a vaccination, because it is a moral dilemma. Can the vaccination stop people from being sick? Sure. But you are also going to make healthy people who would never get sick from this sick.
No.
That's just the risk of taking a vaccination. I mean, we don't want to talk about that.
Yeah.
But that's the truth, is even if it's a small, minute number, and
right,
it's still going to make some guy or girl or child who would never get sick from COVID get sick. It's a moral dilemma. Like, I mean, it's been talked about for 300 years now. I think we could all agree to that. Yeah. But here we sit, and I'm cautiously watching how hard they're going to use the stick, Theo, to push on the unvaccinated to get vaccinated.
Yeah,
because everybody keeps saying you have your choice. There's a choice in it. And it's like, well, when you start getting secluded from everything that you know and love, is that really a choice? I mean, it is, but I mean, come on. Yeah. We can all admit that what's going on, I think right now, is extremely strange.
Yeah.
And we're talking just about that issue alone, the mandates, the censorship, everything going around it is extremely odd, strange, weird.
Right. And I know right now you're trying to be politically correct in what you're saying. I see right through it. You know, I'm on the other side. You know, I don't care. I don't care. I know that evil is everywhere around us. And this is pure evil. Anybody that tries to take away my freedom is evil. Is evil, has a bigger, you know, something. What that is, I don't know. All I know is my freedom is at stake.
Well, it's not only your freedom. I think what the common person needs to understand is it's everyone's freedom. It starts with Theo's, no different than censorship. It started with Trump or whoever.
Yeah, but I'm alone on an island right now.
I don't have
much support.
Well, then I would disagree with you. I think there's a ton of Theo's out there. They're just all feeling like they're on islands, honestly.
Yeah.
I can tell you firsthand from being a guy that's had a multitude of people come on here that are allowed to speak freely, that there is a ton of people that are in Theo's shoes that right. honestly are feeling alone, terrified, feel like they got nowhere to turn, no one to talk to. I mean, there's 12% of Alberta right now alone that is in Theo's shoes.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I think even some of the people who are vaccinated probably feel the same way too. They just, you know, they just don't have a platform, right?
Theo, I literally just talked to a guy that had COVID, but wants to play senior hockey. And in order to play senior hockey, you got to be vaccinated.
Right. Yeah.
So he's getting vaccinated. You think he's happy about that?
Yeah. No.
I'd say he'd be rather pissed off about that.
Yeah.
Because I literally, you go back through the guests, I just had a guy on who's the CEO of a company in Alberta that can prove that he has the same antibodies that the vaccine is supposed to produce,
right.
which means he's okay.
Yeah.
We don't recognize that.
Yeah. Why?
Why?
You know? Yeah. I don't know. We're living in strange times, right?
That's exactly it.
You know, but like I said, you know, the Bible predicted that it was going to get to this place, you know, and say what you want, man, we're at war right now, but it's a different kind of war. It's a war that we've never seen, never experienced before in our lifetimes.
You know? Well, if you stick on the war path, World War I was something the world had never seen. They called it a clash of centuries, right? Because you had guys show up on horses, guys show up on tanks. You had, right?
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
Well, guys walked for how many days to get to where they were? You know, like unbelievable stuff.
Well, and you had so many decades of and centuries of different style of warfare all meet and clash in World War I. And then think of World War II. The First World War was the war of defense. We sat in trenches and just fired across this line. The war hardly moved. I mean, right. It was all fought within a few miles. I forget what the exact number is, but it wasn't that big of a stretch.
Yeah.
Then you get World War II and part of the Allies roll in thinking, okay, here we go again. We're going to be in the same. And boom, there go the Germans.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, this is something different again. Well, right. Here we sit. I mean, it shouldn't surprise anyone.
Well, ultimately, what were they fighting for? Freedom.
Were they against oppression? Freedom, oppression.
Yeah.
Some of the worst things humanity's ever seen in World War II specifically.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, I'm a believer that the world has abundance. You know, like we're gonna see the first trillionaire human being. One being is going to have 12 zeros. What the fuck do you need 12 zeros for?
I don't even know what 12 zeros look like. Right now, I'm hoping to have 3 zeros behind my name.
Exactly. Exactly. So why does one person need to have that much wealth?
So then do you like you must be following Elon Musk and the capital gain and all that taxing. Yeah. And what are your thoughts on that?
I think there should be one tax, and every government every year gets a budget. And if you go over, guess what? You're done. You're done. If you spend over the budget, just like us, like if I overspend on my budget, I'm in big trouble. So why is the government allowed to do that? Right?
It's almost like,
why are they allowed to borrow? And look at where we're at. Trudeau spent $1 trillion. And what do we have to show for it? No food on the shelves. Gas is out of control. $1 trillion. Canada gave out $1 trillion. And we have no food? We have homeless problems?
Well,
we don't have clean water on our reserves? Like, this is just plain old common sense here. I'm the crazy conspiracy theorist. Right? Come on. You know,
We have people that can't eat, and we gave away $1 trillion.
No, the clean water, man. How many years have they been talking about putting wells on reserves to give clean drinking water?
I just wish they would stop playing politics with people's lives. You know, when did my life stop mattering? That's how I feel. When did your life stop mattering? Right? When did human lives stop mattering? Where's the compassion? Where's the empathy? There is none. It's just power. Give me power. Give me power. And if I have power, man, can I do some damage, like some real ugly, disgusting damage when I have power. And I had power. I had power. When I was making $8 million a year in New York, I could fucking control anything and everybody because I had money. I had money.
What was that type of power like, Theo?
It wasn't good. It wasn't good.
But were you thinking that at the time? Were you thinking this isn't
good? I wasn't thinking it at the time because I was in my own trauma. I was still in my trauma, right? And, you know, I see videos of me playing in New York and I fucking cringe. Cause I was like, holy fuck, man, were you out of control? Out of control. So angry and so full of rage and just, yeah. It's, but, you know, you basically gave a kid from Russell, Manitoba, who didn't have two nickels to rub together, and you gave him $28 million and you dropped him right in the middle of New York City and you said, go have fun. That's what happens. Right?
And stick in the middle of that, some of the stuff you went through in juniors and everything else.
Yeah, that's right? What I mean. You know,
yeah. You
stick this traumatized guy, you know, in the middle of New York and you give them $28 million and you just say, have fun. Well, it wasn't fun. You know, maybe at the time I experienced, you know, a little bit of that, but I was just straight surviving. The only way I knew how to, with what tools, you know, that I had, right? And now that I've been able to go back and unpack all of, you know, all of it, you know, I can't believe that was me, right? Because I forgot about the little guy in Russell, Manitoba. Forgot about him, right? Forgot those, you know, those meager beginnings of my life, right? And yeah, the goal was to get to New York and get that kind of money, right? Because I was good at what I did, right? But, you know, looking back, I wasn't an $8 million hockey player, you know, maybe five, maybe four, but not eight. Right. You know?
Well, I appreciate you doing this with me. I'm watching the time closely as we get close to when we got to chip off. So I appreciate you hopping on again, Theo, and talking openly, candidly, as you always do. And that's what I think a lot of people appreciate about you is you're not being skirting the line. You're
well, I know just because, you know, before I was doing politics on social media, like I couldn't break 100,000 followers, right? I was kind of stuck at 90. As soon as I started, you know, doing this political stuff, you know, I'm at like 132,000 people that follow me on social media. So I know that I'm a voice for those that are still afraid, right? You know, and that's why these people, you know, have sort of gravitated towards me, or the AI has, you know, sort of put me in this place. And so, but like I said, you know, I had no idea what political affiliation I had, and you know, I'm just a true patriot. You know, my idol is a guy named Louis Riel,
And if you know anything about Louis Riel, he was the leader of the Métis Nation, and he was, you know, he was smart, he was educated, he was resilient, he was, you know, all these things. And you know, I have, that's who I am as a person, right? I'm a little bit like Louis Riel, you know. And what did they do? They hung him for treason, you know. But he was the voice for the Métis people, right? So, you know, I have a little bit of that in me as well. You know, that's where the fight comes from, right? So, and the, you know, the smarts and all that, right? You know, and what was interesting was, you know, Trump did a little experiment on his show called The Apprentice. You remember that?
Yeah, I remember The Apprentice. Yeah,
where he had the college guys go, college degree guys go up against the street guys, and the street guys absolutely mopped the floor with the guys who had college degrees, right? So, you know, and like I said, you know, my education has come from the street, right? All of it. You know, I don't have a degree, you know, I couldn't sit in a classroom, nothing, you know. So, you know, I have experience, right? And my experiences showed me that something is severely wrong in the world. And as a patriot, I need to stand up for my rights and my freedoms, right?
Well,
just like they've been doing for 300 years, right?
Well, I appreciate you coming on and doing this with me.
Yeah, anytime, man.
Hey, folks, thanks for joining us today. If you just stumbled on the show, please click subscribe. Then scroll to the bottom and rate and leave a review. I promise it helps. Remember, every Monday and Wednesday, we will have a new guest sitting down to share their story. The Sean Newman Podcast is available for free on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, and wherever else you get your podcast fix. Until next time.